Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection, what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, America got a new president this week, guys. I don't know if you caught that. It made the news. We will start with you, Michael, on this one. What will be the most immediate impact of the Biden administration on the work that you do advancing faith, family, life issues, religious freedom in Pennsylvania?
Well, with the inauguration of Joe Biden in Washington, D.C. this week and executive orders that were signed on his first day in office, the challenges are going to be significant on the sanctity of life. That's a key one right off the bat in terms of his move towards taxpayer funding of abortion, repealing the Hyde Amendment. Those are real challenges that impact the sanctity of life, the key issue that we fight here at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, but also on issues of religious liberty, LGBT issues. This is a radical administration coming in. I tend to be a hopeful person, hope, you know, in Jesus Christ, obviously, and then hope that a new administration won't be as bad in this case as we predict, but we're going to need to work to protect the future of religious liberty and sanctity of life here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the most executive orders that any incoming president ever signed on day one was one, Jason, before yesterday. Joe Biden signed, I think, 17. I'll ask you the same question. What is going to be the most immediate impact that you're going to feel when it comes to the work you do advancing faith, family, pro-life issues, religious freedom in New York?
Well, I can tell you that President Joe Biden has already issued an executive order that prevents and he says combats discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. And the ramifications for that are Christian colleges, schools, you know, anybody that's really holds to a biblical orthodoxy concerning human sexuality will have to allow transgender sports competitions. And it really redefines sex at the federal level, again, similar to what President Obama did back under his administration. Then President Trump, you know, pulled it back, and now we're back on again. And that was day one. So that's day one. I can only imagine what the rest of this term is going to look like.
Yeah, when you talk about LGBT issues, Michael, we saw how prominent that will play in the Biden administration with the job offer that they just gave to the former Pennsylvania Health Secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine.
Well, the appointment of Dr. Levine to the federal administration is just an example of identity politics. I mean, this is a transgender individual, formerly Dr. Richard Levine, who has a very sketchy track record here in Pennsylvania as the health secretary during the COVID crisis, whether it's taking the secretary's mother out of a nursing home situation while putting COVID-positive patients in nursing homes, or dealing with the opioid crisis or other issues in Pennsylvania. The track record is not one that you would think this person would get an advancement, and yet this is identity politics, is what I would say.
Yeah, indeed. Governor Cuomo this week, Jason, unveiled his state budget. It is a behemoth. Actually, not one, but two state budgets when it gets down to it. They're competing contingency plans, one in case Uncle Sam doesn't come through on a massive $15 billion bailout. Do you think that that bailout is coming?
I think that there is some form of a bailout coming from the federal government. I think having Senator Chuck Schumer as the Senate Majority Leader will bring the bacon home for New York in many ways, and I think we will see some of that bailout. Whether or not it's $15 billion, though, is a different matter. And frankly, I don't think it's the responsibility of the federal government to bail out Governor Cuomo's bad fiscal policies here. That's ultimately what this is. Remember, it's not all COVID. It is really just some exorbitant actions that New York has taken that it just cannot get its fiscal House in order.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, let's talk about an issue that we're going to have to maybe many times this year, and that's redistricting, Michael. I know you've got your eyes on it. Lawmakers are gearing up for this once-a-decade brawl where they redraw the political maps, a process known as gerrymandering. The state set to lose at least one congressional seat. How does it work, and by and large, is it a fair process in the Commonwealth?
Well, it's a process that's described and mandated by the state constitution. It's a process that involves the legislature. It also involves the governor, and then has historically in recent years involved the Pennsylvania Supreme Court weighing in, both in 2011 when district lines were redrawn, then they weighed in 2013. The court weighed in again in 2018, redrawing those districts. So the fact that we have divided government, we have a Republican House and Senate in Pennsylvania, but a Democrat governor in Tom Wolf, means it's going to be a very contentious issue, and it wouldn't surprise me if the courts weigh in on this once again.
Yeah, in New York State, it's going to be a major issue. Democrats have that supermajority status. Explain how redistricting will work, because New York's going to lose probably two seats in the next election. How does it work in New York, Jason?
Well, that's going to be an issue here as well, similar to what, you know, Michael has described in Pennsylvania. The challenge for us, though, is right now everything is under Democrat control. And so the gerrymandering process is all under one-party control. That's going to make it very challenging for any Republican candidate moving forward in the state of New York.
Yeah, and they may be doing this while there's a race. It's hard to believe that district in the 22nd district, that still is not been called. What's going on there, Jason?
Well, portions of that race that, again, as you said, has not been called, is going to be going to a recount, essentially. And so we're going to be months into this new term, and we're not going to have representation for the folks in New York 22, kind of central New York region there. So it's just abysmal, though. It should not be handled this way. And I just think the policies of how the election reforms have been enacted in New York are going to lead to more and more of these types of problems.
Yeah, unbelievable that race is still outstanding. The only one in the country right now. So big march next weekend. Michael, it's the annual March for Life. The nation's capital has gotten a lot of attention this month, but this march this year is a little different. Explain.
It is different, and just announced earlier this week, the March for Life organizers in Washington, D.C. This is the longest-lasting human rights march in world history, going on since 1974, is going to be only virtual this year because of issues related to COVID as well as security. They've decided to do virtual. That doesn't mean that people can't participate in marches. There is a March for Life taking place in Philadelphia this Saturday, tomorrow, in Philadelphia. So that's something that people can participate in. And around the country, Live Action is promoting rallies for life. So there are still opportunities to participate in marches or observances with about the sanctity of life in your community.
And a shameless plug here, Michael, you've got information on your website about the Dr. Kermit Gosnell tragedy. Hard to believe 10 years since that happened, but there's a remarkable video out there. We strongly encourage you to watch that. But there's information on your website about that. We'll give that at the end. But let's talk COVID before we go, Jason. Words like confusion, frustration, anger. The governor of New York says, hey, we may be out of vaccine here soon. Just unmitigated disaster is another way of explaining the rollout of the vaccine in New York. I'm sure there's a lot of finger pointing and responsibility going around, but who is ultimately to blame for this?
Well, Governor Cuomo has time and again said the buck stops with him until it actually has to. And that's when the finger pointing begins. And so I think in this situation, we do have to look at the Cuomo administration. They are being given vaccines from the federal government. They have not been able to fulfill that order in a timely fashion. And they are being reduced from 300,000 to 250,000 each week. But those vaccines are still coming in. The problems fall at Andrew Cuomo's feet.
All right. And that will have to be the last word this week. But if you want to watch that video, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, 10 years later, where can they get that, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on all the issues in Albany as well. Jason, what's your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.